Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. O Lamb of God, we come to you on this Sunday evening, Father, most of all, as Adventists, as we believe, this is the second day of the week, Monday. So Heavenly Father, as my brothers and sisters and I come before the throne of grace, Father, we ask him for your grace and your mercy to be with us on this prayer line. Father, as we give testimonies and praise and singing and scriptures, whatever my brothers and sisters bring, I know they're going to bring Jesus Christ in him crucified, what he has done for them throughout this week. The Sabbath day was truly a blessing as we all listen to some word of God. So now, Lord, as we come on this day, which the world say it is Sunday. And now, Lord, we just ask that you lead and guide us, give us understanding, give us knowledge and wisdom. We thank you, Father, for all your blessing that you have poured out upon us. Now, Lord, I won't linger, but I would just thank you, asking that you bless your word, asking that you bless the speaker that will come and share with us, and just thanking you, Father, for all the blessing that you poured upon us. Bless each and every sister in every country that's here on this prayer line to listen, or that come on the prayer line and download to listen. So, Father, thank you so much for all this. In the worthy name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to read the last day event, and then I will open my brothers and sisters' line. It say, amid the deepening shadow of earth's last great crisis, God's light will shine the brightest, and the song of hope and trust will be heard in clearest and loftiest strain. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwark. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keep the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he has trust in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. ED, page 166.7, and Isaiah 26:1-4. And it says, the ransom of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and singing shall flee away. No, sigh shall flee away. Isaiah 35:10. And I just want to thank you, sisters and brothers, as I begin to open the line. May God bless each and every one of you. And I just wanted to tell you, I'm a little late because, you know, I place my Bible and my iPad. I could not find it. And I said, okay, Lord, let me just take a minute. Let me pray. So I went to the travel trailer. I came back into the house. I looked everywhere, could not find it. And searching, and I wasn't able to get on until 13 after. So I just want to thank God for allowing his Holy Spirit. And look right over the Bible. It was right there on the dresser. But don't you know, I looked all over it and didn't see it. So now I'm going to begin to open the line for my brothers and sisters. 518-650, your line is open. And I just want to say good evening, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to Advent Light Ministry. Amen. Your line is open, 518.
Good evening to everyone on the line. Thank you for opening my line. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany in New York. I have special prayer. I need special prayer for me, myself, and my family, especially my children. There's a burden on my heart for my children. Please pray for my children and myself. And for all of us on the prayer line, all of us need prayer, because only God alone, only prayer alone can carry us through this world. I would like to sing my song as usual and read my scripture and pray to the Father in heaven. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire, as thou hast died for me. Oh, may my love to thee, pure woman, changeless be, a living fire. While life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away. Nor let me ever stray from thee aside. And I'm going to read Psalms 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou didst desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. O God, my faith look up to thee, the Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, O God, take all my guilt away. O let me from this day be wholly thine. O Father who art in heaven, have mercy upon me according to your loving kindness, according unto the multitude of your tender mercy. Blot out my transgression. Heavenly Father, I come before you, nothing in my hands I bring, but I come because I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And I know there is nothing too hard for you, O God. You're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You never leave me, you never forsake me. Always be near me to hear me when I cry, O God. Anoint me, O God. Cleanse me. Purge me, Father God. Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And if there be any ways in me, lead me in the way everlasting. Heavenly Father, please, God, you are God and God alone. I put my trust in you. I'm walking with you. I'm talking with you. I have no one but you, Lord. You're my best friend. You're my mother. You're my father. You're my sister. You're my brother. You're everything to me. Oh, God, you have made me. You have fashioned me. I'm here for a purpose. So, Lord Jesus, please help me, God, get rid of everything that is unlike you and to come boldly to the throne of grace so that I may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Help me not to get weary, but, Lord, just to give you my life and give you my mind, my body, my soul, my all. Please take me and mold me and fashion me into what you want me to be, Lord. I put all my family members into your hand, Lord, my children, my grandchildren, my brothers and sisters, all my family members, nieces and nephews, all those who are alive, I put them into your hand tonight, dear God. You see and you know, Lord, take full control, lead the way, and let your will be done. Lord, whatever their plans are, let everything be done according to your will, God, and not what they want it to be. Because, Lord, you know everything best, and you do everything that is best. Heavenly Father, I put this prayer line into your hand, Lord. All of us who come on this prayer line from day to day, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, to worship you and to honor you and to give you all the thanks and the praise for everything you have been doing for us. Lord, we come tonight, Lord, because we know you are God and we know there's nothing too hard for you. There's nothing you cannot do. So, Lord God, you will take us and you will make us into what you want us to do, to be. Mold us and fashion us into your likeness, O God. We want to be like you in mind, body, and spirit. Create in us clean heart and renew right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from us. O Jesus, you know us. You see us. You understand us, O God. Help us to walk in your truth, to walk in your light. Help us not to walk the way we want to walk, but we walk the way you want us to walk. Lord, what we should be doing, we are not doing, and what we should not be doing, that's what we do. But, oh, God, please, Jesus, only you alone can change us. We are not our own. We were bought with a price, Lord. So, Lord, help us to glorify you in our mind and our body, which are yours. Oh, God, clean us up, oh, God. Give us a light to shine so that others may see you shining to us. Consecrate us anew. Oh, let us fashion us, oh, God. Have your way in our life. Take full control of us. You are God and God alone. You are worthy. You are awesome. You are miraculous. You are wonderful. Oh, God, every day is another day. The day is going so fast. The year is coming to a close, oh, God, and there is so much attainment. There is so much excitement, oh, God. Thanksgiving is coming up, Lord. Help us not to take everything on our head, oh, God, and to think about it, what is coming up, but to think about you and to give you thanks, oh, God, so that we can live to see another Thanksgiving. Help us not to be worrying about the food and the excitement, Lord Jesus, but to tell you thanks because just because of you why we are living today, and today can be your last day. So, Heavenly Father, have your way, God. Please, Jesus, see us through. Wherever we go, go with us. Whatever we do, do with us. Help us, oh God, to share. Help us to love. Help us to walk in your likeness. And help us, oh God, to give back something to you. Because whatever we earn is because of you why we earn it. You give us the health. You give us the strength to go out and work. So, Lord, help us to give you back. Show you kindness and to show gratitude to you for your keeping care and for your tender mercy over us. You keep us from day to day in our going out and in our coming in. Keep us from all harms and all danger. Lord, you are so good to us. Thank you for being so good, for being so kind, for being so merciful, for being so loving and so compassionate, oh God. Thank you for all you have been doing. Be with every mother, every father, every child, all over the world in diverse places, oh God. Be with those who are hungry. Feed them, oh God. Be with the naked, clothe them. Lord, be with the homeless. Give them somewhere to live, oh God. Those who are sick, heal them, oh God. Thank you for all you have been doing, what you're doing now, and what you continue to do. Thank you for answering. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for what you are doing. I beg and I give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving. Amen.
Oh,
hello.
Okay, Sister Barnaby, I can hear you. I can hear you. I had to take myself off of mute because I got the dog barking in the back. So, but I want to thank you, Sister Barnaby, for praying for all of us and just telling the Father all about our needs and all about the sorrow, all about problems. I want to thank you because he see it all. But you know what, sisters and brothers, I want to ask you a question about John chapter 14. Have you ever read that and looked at it in a deep thought? John chapter 14, first of all, Christ, he tell us in the little heading above, starting at 14, it says the way, the truth, and the life. But what it start off with, it said, let not your heart be troubled. Now, just that first, 5 words, just those first 5 words, let not your heart be troubled. Sisters and brothers, I just want to just share something with you. When you have anything that the enemy trying to bring against you and the thought, and sometimes it's our family or going through trouble. Sometimes it could be you yourself going through something. You see what that first word says, and that's Christ speaking. Let not your heart be troubled, because you know what he says? If we read further, it got three, let me see, one, two, and then the third one is the answer to prayers. So let me just read it right quick. And it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And he said, and if I, let me make sure, let me find my place. And where, I'm on verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, or how can we know the way? And then Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father except through me. So you see, we have no other way to come to the Father. And then the second one says, the Father is revealed. It said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Because you know why, sisters and brothers? He said, because you see me. Now, sisters and brothers, I'm going to tell you like this. I read nothing else in between it, because what the word says, it's enough for me. And I just leave it there. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's enough for me. And let's continue. It's not much more I'm going to read. And he said, Philip said to him, Lord, how show us the Father, and it will suffice us. He said, that'll be sufficient. And Jesus said unto Philip, I've been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me have seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? And guess what he said too? He said, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwell in me does the work. He said, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Else believe in me for the sake of the works. Sake of works themselves. Explaining to us. You see the works he did? He said, believe in him because of the works he did. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. All those works. Okay, last one, my brothers and sisters. The answer to prayer. It say, most assuredly, I say unto you, he who believe in me, the works that I do, he will do. Also, greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If I ask anything, no, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So Jesus said, now let me show you something, sisters and brothers. I picked up my Bible. We kind of moved from one place to this place, and we've been busy. And my brothers and sisters, I picked up my Bible and my iPad, and I placed it somewhere, and I can think of where I placed it. And I was looking for it for quite a few minutes. And I asked my husband, have you seen my Bible? I'm looking all over. I went to the back. I come back to the front, and I'm still looking for it. And I said, oh, my goodness, the people waiting on me online. So when I said, wait a minute, let me stop and pray. And I say, Heavenly Father, I need you now. I say, because I need to open the line and I need you to show me where my Bible. I went right back to that same place and put my hand on the Bible, was looking. And I look, I'm like, Lord, my hand is on the Bible. Can you believe it? I'm looking all over the Bible and my hand was on the Bible. I'm like, Lord, thank you. I found it and I was able to hurry up and get on. So sisters and brothers, I'm telling you, I believe when I pray. And I told my daughter, I said, daughter, when you lose something, pray and ask the Father to allow His Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. And don't you know, sisters and brothers, it always happens. So I just want to thank you, and that's my little testimony. So let me just open the line for my brothers and sisters. So I just want to thank you once again for coming on and sharing. So let us begin to open the next line, and we ask that you press 1. If you like to share, you can press 1, and we will open your line. 985-232, your line is open, and you can go ahead and give and share. And you can tell us where you're calling from, amen? Let me say it again. 985, can you hear me?
Yes. Good evening, sisters and brothers. It's Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for his gift of love. I want to thank him for watching over us while we slumber and sleep at night. Just want to thank him for everything. I want to read a prayer. I'm still getting together. Sound like I've been running, but I'm just out of breath because I've been working. And I just want to say thank the Lord for everything, because he's worthy to be praised. And grace and mercy brought me through. I'm just thankful. I'm just so thankful, Lord. I haven't had a good night's sleep since I don't know how long, and was able to rest and not be in so much pain. So I just want to thank him over and over. Let me read a little paragraph, not paragraph, but a little prayer here. They even gave me a holy Bible, but I can't see it. I need a magnified glass. I can't read it. Thank God for that. Lord. Okay, I'm going to let Brother John read say something. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not distinct, for I am thy God. I am with strength thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's Isaiah 41:10. I just read the first thing I found. I want to thank God for his word so that we can have something to go by, because if it wasn't for God with his word, we wouldn't have nothing to go by to get no spirit and no word. This world would be corrupted. So I just ask for prayer for my family, Advent Life family. Prayer for my sister Mary, why she needs to continue finishing her house. She needs a lot of work. And pray for all the members and missing members and all the work they has to do, just the power in them has to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Here, Brother John.
Yeah, I'd like to say hello to everyone. This is Brother John. from home in Louisiana. Yeah, just having a blessed day. And today, thank God. And I just left the stores today, bringing some more things to the house over here, sorting through things, you know, getting it together. I thank God for giving me the strength, you know, to do these things, and then the strength to keep on going and keep moving on. And just want to say that day to day is a blessing for this gift of life that we have, you know. And just like I said, just continue to grow into His Word. And I always feel like an infant in the Word of God, though, because there's so much to learn. You know, it's like to amaze me, though, the things that I do learn from the Word of God. And like I said, just the wonderfulness of the way things are and His holiness. And I just want to say that if it were not for God, and I don't know where I would be today. So I just want to share that. God bless. Amen.
So true, my brother. If it wasn't for the love that He laid down, we don't know where any of us would be, because truly it was His love. And I just want to say thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for coming on and sharing your prayer, you're reading your prayer, and Brother John sharing his always inspiring people, or, you know, just trying to encourage. So thank you, Brother John, for that, and may God truly bless as we listen to the prayer line tonight. And as I was reading the Bible, talking about if your heart be troubled, also I want to read you Proverbs 4:23. And brothers and sisters, amen. I see someone else has pressed 1, and I will open your line. The Bible also says, and that's another thing, my brothers and sisters, the Bible is a line upon line, precept on precept. Now I'm in Proverbs, and Proverbs says, 4:23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. So sisters and brothers, guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, because the Bible tells us the issues of life is in the heart. When you let go that heart and allow things to cause you stress, cause you some kind of depression, sisters and brothers, please give it to Christ. Don't let nothing stress you. Please have peace. The Bible says peace. Peace is like the rivers of the forgive me on that, because sometimes I can quote so many scriptures be in your mind, but peace is the best thing to have. It's like, let me not quote it, because too many scriptures going through my head with that. But anyway, when you have peace, you are able to have stress-free life. So please be at peace and don't let stress rule over you. Amen? And and that's what I wanted to share with you. And now I will open the line for 7505. We're going to open that line. So thank you, sisters and brothers, for being patient. And we just ask that if you like to share, you can press 1. And also, if you have any prayer requests, please press 1 and share your prayer request, because we here on the line, we love to pray for you. We lift you up, you and your family. And we ask that the Lord be with you, take care of you, and always, always watch over you from to and fro, from your house, from your job to your house or wherever you go. So praise God. So let us open this line. Hold on. We're going to open 857 first. He pressed 1, and then we're going to open your line. Amen, brothers and sisters. 857, your line is open. Give your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen, amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, my brothers and sisters. How we do, beloved? God is good. He's worthy to be praised. He's an awesome God. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. I like to thank God for everything you have done for me and my family members. And Sister Miola and all individuals on the prayer line, and Sister Powell and everyone on the prayer line, please, I have a prayer request today. My prayer request today is to lift up my mom in prayer. Lift up my mom. My mom needs a lot of prayer. So please lift me up in prayer, Sister Miola. And I need a lot of prayer. And Sister Miola, lift up Sister Anna Kay too, that she can come to the Lord. And lift up Sister Anna Kay in the mighty name of Jesus. Lift her up in prayer because she needs a lot of prayer. Her name is Anna. Her name is Anna K. A-N-N-A. And her last name is K. Lift up Sister Anna K in prayer that the Lord will have peace in her, that God will give her the love, that God will give her wisdom, that God will give her knowledge and understanding. Because Sister Miola, she is a young she's a young lady. So please lift up that young lady in prayer. And don't forget to lift up her boyfriend in prayer. Her boyfriend's name is Anthony Freeman. Lift up Anthony and Freeman in prayer. Sister Miola, A-N-T-H-O-N-Y. Lift up Brother Anthony in prayer, too. And lift up Brother Javel in prayer. Sister Miola, J-A-V-E-L. Lift up Brother Javel in prayer that he will come to the Lord, Sister Miola, in the name of Jesus. And I'm praying, Sister Miola, that Brother Javel will come to the Lord in the name of Jesus. And Sister Miola,
amen.
I would like to thank you, Sister Miola. Thank you for encouraging that word, peace. Yeah, because I need peace, Sister Miola.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, amen. 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 Thank you, Brother Eli, for coming and giving offering, well, to ask for prayers for those individuals, because truly we all, so yes, in you and your mother, yes, we will pray. And yes, and that peace we need. So thank you, Brother. And we're going to open the next line so we can give all our brothers and sisters a chance. 518-744, your line is open. You can give your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York. And just praising the Lord for another day. It's been a good day. Right now, it's actually snowing a little bit. But it doesn't feel that cold, and I was able to get outside and get a bunch of things done today, just preparing for winter. I got my daughter and son-in-law and two grandchildren from Silver Spring, Maryland. That's right down near Washington, D.C. They're here today, and they helped me stack wood and do all kinds of things. It was a beautiful day, and just thank the Lord for that. And Lord, just wanted to lift up my family in prayer, sister, my wife, and children, especially Ashley. She is doing okay at the moment. Haven't heard much from her. She's busy. They don't get much free time, which is probably good. They keep them busy so that they don't have chance to be thinking about things that they used to do. But I would love to see her thinking about the things of the Lord. God is the only one that's going to heal her from her addictions. He's the only one that can heal any one of us from addiction or from sin, from problems that we have in our lives. But, this weekend, sister, I was doing a bunch of reading here, and I just wanted to share a text. Two verses with my brothers and sisters here in Exodus is looking at the story of Moses and the children of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt. And there was a couple verses here, verses 13 and 14 of Exodus 14. It says, "And Moses said unto the people," this is they are being chased by the Egyptians. They had the Red Sea in front of them. They had a Egyptian watchtower on one side of them. They had a Canaanite stronghold on the other side of them, and the Egyptians close behind them. Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." So Moses had faith that God was going to deliver them with a strong deliverance. And that is amazing, because the people were complaining. The people were scared. They were calling out to Moses, saying, "You know, why did you lead us out here to die? You could have been back in Egypt. We would have had to do our hard labor, but at least we would have had food to eat and places to stay, and we wouldn't have been out here in the middle of this barren old desert land being chased by the Egyptian army and who were going to kill us." And Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." So when things are closing in around us, we need to stand still and look to the Lord for his salvation. And just a little interesting fact, when God asks us to stand still, he doesn't want us to stand still and do nothing. He wants us to stand still and seek him, to search our hearts, to lift up our problems to him in prayer, and then move ahead in faith. Sometimes moving ahead means standing still until he speaks to us, sister. But, you know, there are other times when he wants us to move and we kind of sit there and don't do anything, and that's not what we need to be doing. So just wanted to encourage my brothers and sisters, when things seem to be closing in around you and problems are arising, things that you cannot take care of, stand still, call out to the Lord, and then watch him work for you. Patience is, for most of us, something hard to come by. We get impatient. We ask God to solve a problem for us, and then we instantly want that problem solved, and God just, sometimes he sits back and waits for the right time, waits for us to realize that, you know, it's not us that's doing it, it's him. And if he were to answer each one of our prayers, you know, the moment that we ask them, we would begin to think that he is just the, you know, he's like the genie in the sky. You know, we just rub the lamp and we can ask him for something and he gives it to us. But he says, no, you've got to learn to be patient, to be stand still, to be silent, to be lifting us up in prayer and searching your heart to see if maybe something you're doing is bringing this upon you. Because sometimes we bring these things upon ourselves, and sometimes we don't realize that, but he just wants us to stand still and wait on him. So that's something we all need to practice, sisters. Hard to do. It is so hard for us. We are sinful, impatient human beings, but you know what? If we do this, if we begin to do this, God will give us grace. He will give us patience. When we ask God for patience, he is not going to send us a nice, calm person. He's going to send us somebody in a situation that's going to cause us to be impatient. He will send us an impatient person to test us. But he says, you know what? Within my power, you can overcome. So let's remember that. When God calls us to do something, let's obey. Let's ask him what it is that we need to be doing at that moment. And I'm just grateful that I'm able to be on this prayer line tonight, that you're listening to Sister Barnaby and their song and their prayer, and Brother Eli, his prayer request, and Sister Brenda, Brother John, and just the joy that they have, and keeping love is just uplifting. So I'm just thanking the Lord for all my brothers and sisters. Special prayer for Sister Tainiko, too, her and her daughter, and they are in Florida, as we know, and things are expensive. She's having a hard time making ends meet, and I'm sure many of you have the same issue, but let's lift Sister Tainiko up in special prayer, too. She's a dear sister, very devoted to the Lord and to her family, so let's remember her also. And just thank you, Sister Leola, for hosting and opening the line. It's a pleasure to hear your voice each Sunday evening. And I will stop now and let somebody else take over, but I just thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. Brother Rick, as you were saying that, talk about we all need to just have a little patience and as these children murmur because God trying to tell them, did you see the marvelous, the wondrous work I did, how I delivered you, you know? And God
Amen.
Is trying to tell them, I could do more, but you all need to stop and think. You're complaining over things, over little things, and when Egypt had you in captivity, you ain't had nothing. They were beating you on your back. They were whipping you. They didn't feed you the things you need. Now I'm giving you manna. I'm giving you food from heaven. Oh, let me read this for you, brother. Let me read this. Let me see where, you know what Paul says, the things that I would do, I do it not. Hold on, I have to get that scripture again. It's Romans 7:5, I believe. I was trying to find that. Here we go, right here. He said, let me start. Okay, he says, I'm reading Romans 14, I'm going to start it. He said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. This Bible is almost like a living version or something like that. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. Ain't that so? Oh, my goodness, that is so true. And he said, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but to how to perform it, what is good, I do not find. Oh, mercy, if that ain't talking about myself, Lord Jesus, and all
Amen.
We can do is pray, because brothers and sisters, He says, for the good that I will do, I do not, but the evil I will not to do that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not I to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, and David said it clear, oh, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me. Because David knows that the sin that was in him, you know, it was something that it was, the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory. And in some things we struggle with sin. And all we can say is we got to keep continue to pray. Pray, brothers and sisters. That's all we can do. And it's Christ is the one that is able to help us. Amen. So I want to thank you so much, Brother Rick, for bringing that to us tonight. And by God's grace, it is His will that we want to do, not of our own, because there's nothing no good in us. So by God's grace, we continue to work, help Him to work that in us, that we can do His good pleasures and nothing of ourselves. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, I'm going to go. If there's anyone else would like to share, please press 1 and your line could be open. And we're going to go into prayer by God's grace. And we're going to lift up my brothers and sisters. I know that you need prayers. I need prayers. Brother Rick asked for prayers. Sister Brenda asked for prayers. And listen, brothers and sisters, you know, I'm asking God to deliver me from things right now. I have to be delivered, you know, even though Sister Leola on the prayer line every week, you know, we got sin. And we got something that we're dealing with. But by God's grace, He say, be ye ready. So it's prayer. It's you know. And I thank God for His goodness. I thank God for His grace. So if there's anyone else like to share, we're going to go into prayer. Okay, there's no one. Brother Rick, do you have a moment that you can offer a prayer for the prayer line?
No,
and
absolutely.
Then I would do the
amen.
Thank you, thank you. There's no one else have pressed 1. So if you can offer a prayer, and I'll pray, I'll do the last prayer for brothers and sisters. Amen.
Amen. One moment here, sister. Give me about 10 seconds. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, yes. I'm in a good spot here now. Let's bow our heads, brothers and sisters, as we seek the Lord in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Lord God, this evening we come before You, Lord. Father, we are nothing in Your sight. We are lower than the ant, God. Father, we have rebelled against You. We have sinned against You. We have willfully gone against what You have called us to do and asked us to do and we have pledged with us to do, Lord. Oh, Father, forgive us. Lord, as Sister Leola was reading in Romans 14, the things that we like to do, we don't do, and the things that we hate to do, we do, Lord. It's the sin that is in our very being that trips us up, Lord. Father, You have made a way for us. You have given us Jesus. He has died for us. He has lived a perfect life. He has given us an example to follow, Lord, and then He has given us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to strengthen us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness as we confess, repent of our sins. Lord, we thank You for the gift of Jesus. We thank You for the gift of the Holy Spirit who now resides in us. Help us to do the things that You've called us to do. To turn away from those sins, Lord. To rebuke the enemy and not to give in to temptation. Oh, Father, complain. We're just grateful for each person that's called in. We're lifting up Sister Barnaby and her family, Lord. She is for special prayer for her children, oh Lord. Oh, Father, we just lift them to You at this moment. Lord, we know how that is. Many of us have children. Not all of us, but many of us. And Lord, we see them going away from You. They are wayward children, Lord. As we have been in the past. Oh, Lord, please touch their hearts. Work in their lives in a mighty way, Lord. That they may turn from their sins, turn to You, Lord. That they would see, they would taste and see Your goodness, Lord. They would desire to follow You with their whole heart. Work for You. Talk talk of you, Lord. Teach about you, Lord. Oh, Father, just grateful that you give us that opportunity. Father, we heard Sister Brenda and Brother John, and I'm grateful for another day. They're moving things into the house, Lord. Please bless them. Their ministry there in Houma, Louisiana. Sister Brenda was talking about her sister, her sister Mary, too. We need a lot of work on her health. Lord, did she find a way to get that done? A great person to do that with can be heard. You know the need, Lord. You know that you will take care of it. Lord, Brother Eli has called in and he's asking prayers for his mom. And he's always lifting up his mom. Please be with Brother Eli's mom. Be with Sister Anna Kay and her boyfriend Anthony, Lord. Also, Brother Javel, Lord, each one of them needs and desperate as we do, Lord. None of us are above the other, Lord. Each one of us needs you as much as the next person, Lord, but some people don't even realize that. We're just grateful that Brother Eli is praying for them, lifting them up, Lord, that your spirit may work in a mighty way. If Brother Eli strengthened him, Father God. Pray. For a double portion of your spirit to fall upon him as he is witnessing for you, or to guide him. Father, I think of Sister Leola, who is hosting, Lord. We just want to lift her up and her family, Lord. Brother Ray, Brother Jarvis, Lord, her son, who, Lord, we just ask that you work his life, Lord, to turn him around, that you revive him, reform him, Lord, with her daughter, oh, Lord, and her grandchildren, each one of them, each one of her family members. Lord God, just talking about Sister Tamika, too. Lord, I want to raise her up to you at this moment, Father. She is a dear sister, always encouraging, always has a good word, always a praise on her lips for you, Lord. Please, Lord, bless her, guide her, keep her and her family, her daughter, who she is living with, her mom, mother-in-law, sons, husband, Lord, your whole family, Lord, please, Lord, take over control of their lives, Lord. You'd be able to work in them in a mighty way. Lord, I want to lift up my family to you, too, my wife, my children, Ashley, Lord, who seems to be doing well now, Lord, but I just want her praising you, keeping you, calling out to you, worshiping you, O Lord. Each one of my children, I desire that for each one of them, Lord, and many of them are not doing that at this time. Please work in their lives, work in their lives. And grandchildren, too, Lord. All grandchildren, Lord. Just pray for each one of them. Lord, I lift up all the children and all the grandchildren on this prayer line, Lord, of each person. Calling in. Think of Sister Katie, always asking for prayers for her grandchildren, her children. I think of only the people we haven't heard from in a long time, Brother Serge, Brother Bernard, who's over in the Philippines at the moment, Brother Yudi out in Arkansas, and he is moving into another house, or be with him and his family, Lord, Brother Rakim and his mom and dad, Lord, and his ministry there in Maryland, Father. Father, there are so many, Carla and her son and her daughter, Lord, Sister Powell and her ministry in Jamaica, and her family, her children, her grandchildren, Sister Stephanie and her children, Lord. Father, the list goes on, and I know I've forgotten somebody, Lord, but please forgive me, and Lord, those who I've forgotten, please take care of them also. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Just guide us tonight, Lord. May our hearts be filled with your spirit, Lord. Please guide us into all truth, as truth is what is going to keep us clinging to you, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. Jesus, precious and holy name. Amen. Sister Leola, you check your phone for mute.
Hello, Brother Rick?
Yes.
Okay. My brother disconnected. I didn't hear your last words. Words I was hearing you praying for. Okay. All right, you're done. And brothers and sisters, I want to thank you once again for joining us on Advent Light Ministry. Brother Rick has offered prayer for our brothers and sisters, and we just want to thank God for him in the prayers that he offers. So we want to just offer another little short prayer. Oh, before we offer that little short prayer, Brother Rick, Sister Carla has joined us. So let me just open her line right quick. But we also just thank you, and we want to lift you up in prayer. So let us open Sister Carla, and so she can share.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes, amen. Thank you, Sister Leola. Good evening, brothers and sisters. Sister Carla here from Tennessee. Good to hear Brother Rick's voice. God is good. I'm coming back from a seminar. It was beautiful, a health seminar, but they touched on different topics, and you know, and this is new to me. I'm not sure if I heard about it, but it's kind of new. I probably have, but they talk about the Noah law, something in Israel, you know, Noahites or something, about the seven law that those are in Israel, you know, the Sanhedrin. They have a Sanhedrin council and all those things that, you know, they had in the past that they're bringing back. And this lady, she was from Israel, and she talked about it and about the Hanukkah and the menorah, I believe it is, and how it's the symbol is, the nine candles and stuff is just like Christmas, pagan, and it's just a lot of stuff they touched on. But and also, I mean, I know this is not health reform, but they talk about the banana, how they're putting, they've been injecting the banana. And since 1974, I believe, they've been experimenting with the lettuce, you know, the vegetables and stuff. And you know, we just, God is so merciful. He's keeping us, you know, through all of this. They're doing everything possible to destroy his people. But we serve a living God. We serve a mighty, powerful God. And he's so long-suffering. Mm-hmm. Even with those that are ignorant, those that are evil, he's still long-suffering with them, but they continue to seek to harm his children and his creature and to make his law none and void, and also to destroy the planet. So he will take care of them in due time. So let us be faithful, let us be steadfast, and let us trust our Savior. Thank you again, Sister Leola, for opening up my line.
Thank you so much, Sister Carla, for bringing that to us. And maybe later, like Thursday, you can bring more of that. And the it's the Torah. The Torah means the Ten Commandments, the law. And I thank you so much for bringing that to forefront. But I didn't know that they have been gene splicing the bananas, too. You know, sometimes we think we buy an organic. And just because it says organic, they could still manipulate it and do what they want with it. So,
yes.
So I thank you. And you said they doing something with lettuce?
Yes, from this man, he showed, I'm not sure if I took a picture or I videotaped it, how from when he was born, 1974, they've been engineering you know, lettuce and stuff. So from back then, but now they want to put the vaccine in it. But they've been 1974 or so, 75. They've been messing with the lettuce and it's like, wow. You just don't know.
You have a video.
No, I was videotaping it. No, I was just videotaping, and he had showed the pictures of it. He had showed, like, a news clip of, you know, of what he was talking about a little bit. And I videotaped a little bit of it.
Can you send it to me? Can you send it to me?
Yes, I did it live on Facebook. I'll talk to you later, so I'll try to get it over to you.
Okay. Yeah,
amen.
Because I like to share it. I like to share it with other sisters and brothers. Amen. Thank
yes.
you, Sister Carla. She goes to all these events, and it's such a blessing that she can come back and give us this information. So we thank you, and you can give this. But you're okay, because it is something good that my sisters and brothers need to hear about. And then
yes.
we're going to get the Sister Carla, tell them how to get it on Facebook so they could see it. You can announce it. Go ahead and tell them.
Okay, yeah, you just have to go to Carla, then you have to Carla NEWSTART New Start. That's me, you know, a new start with Christ. Carla New Start, and it's right there on that page, or I can kind of forward to you and see how that works and try to get it to you. And I just sent you something about the Noahide law in your text message. If you have time, Noahide law, you can read it because I'm driving, about the seven commandments. And it's similar to the Ten Commandments, but it's only seven. So it just tells us how these things are being planned, you know, and then they're going to want to take over, you know, and for us to abide by these laws. And these are, of course, man-made law. So the same thing that happens in the past, it's going to happen again. So let us be faithful. Let us be ready for Jesus' return.
Thank you so much, sis.
Amen.
And sis, with you saying that, I just saw on YouTube that China also is rewriting the Bible and making people sign. You got to sign your name saying that you will obey it. So that's another little thing they're coming up with, saying that what you just said, they're going to want to make us obey those things, those seven commandments rather than the Ten Commandments. But you know, by God's grace, he says that that's why he wants us to learn and study his word. And what we learn and know, then nobody will be able to deceive us because we have studied the word. So, brothers and sisters, I will say another little prayer for Sister Carla, Safe Traveling Mercy, and offer prayer just for Brother Rick as he prayed for everyone else. And we got maybe some other callers that we just need to offer prayer. So let us just offer another word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we come to you, Lord, because there's no other. Heavenly Father, I know when our Savior has told us that he's in the Father and the Father in him. Heavenly Father, I believe that with all in my heart, and I know that he said, if you don't believe that, believe the nature. He said, believe what I have created. And Lord, I see in nature that God has created everything. And there's a father, and there's a male, and there's a female. And he created these things to let us know when there's a male, the male is the head of the household. And the male is the father. And as the male takes care of his household, the father show himself in the man that is the head of household. So, Lord, I see you, see your creating power here in this world. So, Father, as you show us these things, Lord, we have no other choice, I believe, because of what I see in nature, that you are the almighty creator and the of the whole world. So, Father, we want to say thank you. Thank you. Lord, who could have created a body? Who could have created every organ in its place and the vocal begin to talk? Who could create a mind that can speak and that can get education as high as PhD, doctrine, and all these things? And we see that little children that come up 6 and 7 years old have the knowledge of an adult of 100, 150, 60 IQ. So, Lord, if nobody but you can do such things. So, Heavenly Father, this evening, Father, we thank you for your creating power. We thank you for your love. And we thank you for sisters and brothers on this prayer line. And we lift up these sisters and brothers to you, Father. We lift up Sister Carla to you, Lord, as she's traveling on the highway, Lord. She has been to a meeting, learning things, Lord, whether it's to do or not to do. Lord, knowledge is wisdom. And you said, wisdom we need, because if we don't believe in something, we fall for anything. So, Heavenly Father, we believe in the Almighty God, Jehovah, and Jesus Christ crucified. So, Father, we thank you this evening for blessing us to be on this prayer line, that we can come together in fellowship. So bless Brother Akeem James. Bless my brother Rick, as he's the chairperson on this prayer line. And we are, and by God's grace, we are a committee that come together to host the prayer line. Father, we thank you that we've been brothers and sisters continuing on this prayer line for almost 13 years. God, you know you in the midst of this, because most people can't get along to be able to be on a prayer line together. So, Father, you did it. You did this, Father, that you are able to bring us together and we can stay together and each one do their part. Lord, help me, Jesus, to learn how to do a little bit more. So Sister Carla would have to do it all the time. But, Father, we thank you. Continue to bless her with wisdom and knowledge, Lord. Bless Sister Katie, as Brother Rick has prayed for, all on this prayer line. Lord Jesus, we call upon you for Sister Brenda and her grandson, Lord Jesus, knowing that what he said this week, Lord, that he would kill himself, Lord Jesus, an 8-year-old child. Oh, Father, help us, Jesus. Lord, I'm asking for you to pour over your son, Lord. His name is Joshua, Lord Jesus, and you, that name Joshua means something. You use Joshua, Lord, to rule over Israel. So, Lord, this child have a name that means something. So, Lord, use him mightily, Father. And, Lord, continue to be with us tonight. Lord, as we open the line for Brother Akeem, we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, if we've forgotten anyone, Sister Powell, Sister Stephanie, my daughter, Nicole, Lord Jesus, my husband, whom all, Brother Rick's daughter, Brother Rick's wife, Lord, the family, if we've forgotten anyone, Lord, be with each and every one. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, let us see if Brother Akeem, Pastor Akeem, is here with us now. So give me just a second. I need to open the line. Praise God, he's here. So, brothers and sisters, we open the line for Pastor Akeem James, and he will bring us our message. And, Pastor, your line is open, and God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, and glad to be on once again. As we go into God's Word this evening, we'll be continuing in Revelation chapter 11. And I pray that what we have covered so far from Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, that it has made sense concerning the formation of the papacy, the rising of its, it rising to the point of having supremacy over the entire then known world of Western Europe, and even outside of it, outside of that territory. And so I pray that this made sense. We saw the 42-month period again, this period speaking in reference to the 1,260 years of papal dominance. And we also found out that during that time, the two witnesses uttered their voices. Two witnesses being the Word of God, the Old and the New Testament, that was proclaimed by men who were faithful to the Lord, even at the cost of their lives. Hence, we were told that these two witnesses prophesied clothed in sackcloth, because there was persecution against those who gave that word to the people. Verse 4 tells us these are the two olive trees, and we saw that when it says these, it speaks of the two witnesses. So the two witnesses are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. We found out that the two witnesses are the symbol of the Word of God, the Old and the New Testament. So that means the two olive trees, which are the same, has to be the same. It is the Word of God, the Old and the New Testament. Even the two candlesticks, the Old and the New Testament, standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth, and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. And it's powerful because in this situation you find, yes, a pulling from situations in the Old Testament where fire fell from heaven and consumed people. In other words, the judgment for seeking to suppress the Word of God is judgment from God himself. And friends, we ultimately know that after the millennium, the lake of fire will come against those who have stood against God, against his people, against his word. So when we realize that the two witnesses, which are the two olive trees, which are the same as the two candlesticks, is a symbol of the word of God, anyone who stands against the word of God, verse 5 is revealing to us, shall be judged. All right, so as we go forward now, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that as we move forward, O Lord, and we seek to understand your word, seek to understand more of the verses in Revelation 11, that, Lord, you would give us wisdom and understanding, deepen our comprehension of the truths for this time and of the history of Western Europe as it pertains to the end of the world. Guide us, Lord, and guide me, and give me a word in due season. Jesus Christ's name, amen. It says, these have power to shut heaven. Speaking of the word of God, the two olive trees, the two witnesses, the two candlesticks, which are all the same. These have power to shut heaven. Now notice, verses 5 and 6, speaking of this fire falling from heaven, talks about destruction. In other words, destruction will come to those who stand against God's word. But not only this, we also see that this fire falling from heaven is also being pulled from Elijah's time. How do we know this? It says these, speaking of the two witnesses, the two olive trees, the two candlesticks, they have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Do you see that? So who was it in the Old Testament that prophesied? And in the time of the fulfilling of that prophecy, no rain fell. The heavens were shut up for the space, by the way, of 1,260 days. It was none other than Elijah. So it's crazy. Elijah, you find out, I believe, and I pray that I don't lead you astray in this, in James chapter 5, and let's look at verse 17. That's it, James chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, Elias is the Greek way of saying it, but Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of how long? 3 years and 6 months. So do we see that? And at the end of the time, it says he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. So what are we seeing here? Elijah prophesied, and in the days of his prophecy, which is how long? 3 years and 6 months, 3.5 years, which is how long? 1,260 literal days. In the days of his prophecy, the heavens were shut. Now, by coincidence, when we go back to Revelation chapter 11 and verses 5 and 6, and it talks about these have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over the waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with plagues as often as they will, we're realizing that what God is doing here is he's pulling from the prophecy of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. As he gave the prophecy that there will be no rain in this land, he actually said there will be no rain in this land for the space of 3.5 years. We read in James chapter 5 and verse 17. And in the same way, interestingly enough, the prophecy is applied to the papacy. And how long was the prophecy to last? 3.5 years, prophetically. In Elijah's time, it was literally 3.5 years. Concerning the papacy, it was 3.5 years prophetically, in prophecy, meaning that it wasn't literally going to be 3.5 years, but rather 3.5 years amongst the 1,260 days. But in the Bible, in Bible prophecy specifically, a day equals a year, so it's 1,260 years. And so what God is saying here is, those who stand against my word, I will stand against them with judgments. I will bring my plagues to them. Friends, as we will see, as one of the things we see in Bible prophecies, that after the millennium, God brings about his judgments. The plagues, when it speaks of blood, waters turning to blood, to smite the earth with all plagues, as often as they will. Does the word of God, which are the two witnesses, prophesy of coming plagues? Does the word of God prophesy judgments against those who stand against God's people and his word? So what it's doing is it's pulling, the latter part of verse 6 is pulling from the story of the Exodus. It's pulling from the time that God judged those who were persecuting his people. So what the Bible is revealing here is that the word of God, the two witnesses, prophesies judgment against those that persecute his people. The judgment may not have come during the 1,260 years, but God is saying it is coming. It is coming against those who have stood against my word, suppressed it, and attacked those who sought to bring it before the people. And so in light of this, it continues by saying in verse 7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now, a beast in Bible prophecy represents a nation or kingdom. We read this in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, specifically in verse 23 onward. It says there, thus he said, this is the angel that showed Daniel the four creatures in vision. What do the four creatures represent? In understanding what the fourth out of the four creatures represented, we understand what all four creatures represented. And what was it? The heavenly being said to Daniel, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. So we're realizing that beasts represent kingdoms or nations, political entities, right? So now as we go back to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 7, and it says, when they shall have finished their testimony. Now you remember, how long do they give this testimony? The same time as the papacy supremacy, for 1,260 years. When their testimony is finished, that means now we're coming what? To the end of the 1,260 years. There's another nation that would rise and ascend out of the bottomless pit, shall make war against them, that is against the word and against those who preach the word as well. So those who preach the word were already being persecuted. The word of God was already being attacked during the 1,260 years by the papacy. But now a new power is being introduced that will come at the end of the 1,260 year prophecy to also attack the word of God. It says here, and shall overcome them and kill them. Now, how do we understand who this is, who this power is, this new beast? It says, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually, that is, the two witnesses, their bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So we're realizing the place where the two witnesses died. In other words, the city which attacked them, this beast, which this nation which attacked them, they will basically die in it. And it says the place was a great city, which is called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. Now, friends, the reason that this is so powerful is because Sodom, anybody thinks of Sodom, they automatically think of licentiousness, which is rebellion. Because this is one of the reasons why Sodom was destroyed. It is not the only reason. but it is one of the reasons. It was licentiousness was one of the reasons, as well as injustice. All right? And I want to make sure I find that for you. When we look in Scripture, the statement is, this is the sin of Sodom. All right? And we could find that in the book of Ezekiel. Let me make sure I get it to you. Because many people only think that homosexuality was the sin of Sodom. But it was not. This was not the only reason. It wasn't even the... That was the icing on the cake. But friends, the real reason Sodom was destroyed was this. And this was, this is where we can find it. Give me one second. Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. The reason I point this out, friends, is we're going to see how this parallels to our time as well. So Ezekiel chapter 16. Why was Sodom destroyed? Was it because of sexual immorality? That was one of the reasons. That's the icing on the cake. But friends, there was an underlying reason. So Ezekiel chapter 16, we're going to go to verse 49. All right, this is what it says here. What was the sin that led to Sodom's destruction? It says, actually I'll read it from verse, let's go from verse 46. It says here, and thine elder sister Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations. But as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all their ways. And God is speaking to his people here, but he then goes into talking about Sodom. He says, as I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, nor she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, now here it is. This was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. What was it? Doesn't even mention homosexuality in this list, friend. It says, this was the sin of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, that is gluttony, abundance of idleness, they were lazy, was in her and her daughters. Neither, now watch this, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. So in Sodom, it's not only that they were proud, not only did they have everything they wanted, and as a result, rather than using what they had to be a blessing to those within their community that were suffering, what did they do? It says she did not strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. So do you see what it's saying to us? And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. This is where we go back to Genesis, I believe 19, in which we find the subject of Sodom's destruction. Because at the tip of it, when did the angels come? So the angels came from Jesus because Jesus was already hearing the cries. This is why he came to Abraham. Tell him, I have heard of things that were going on in Sodom, and now I have come down to see those things. What was he hearing about? He was hearing the fact. He was receiving the fact that there were outcries because of injustices that were being done. There was pride there. There was gluttony there. There was abundance of idleness there. And friends, there was injustice socially in Sodom. That's why it says they did not strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And on top of this, they committed abomination before me. That is what? That is the area of now licentiousness. By the time the angels came into Sodom, it was very clear that sexually, they had gone astray to the point that they wanted to abuse the very angels that came into the city and was dwelling at Lot's residence. And so now all of this combined, social injustice, idleness, pride, gluttony, all of this combined with licentiousness is why Sodom was destroyed. So when we're talking about a beast that rose up out of the bottomless pit at the end of the 1,260 years, we are looking at a political entity, a nation, that rose up at the end of the 1,260 years to attack the Word of God in a different way, but just as the papacy attacked the Word of God during the 1,260 years. But get this. Whoever this nation was, it would be guilty of licentiousness, injustice. It would be guilty of great evils that Sodom had as well. But not only was it like Sodom in the sense of licentiousness, but it also says it would be like Egypt. The city was called spiritually. Now notice, it isn't physically Sodom and Egypt. It says which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. So it's not literal. We're looking at a nation who spiritually had licentiousness in it, along with other injustices. And along with that, it also was like Egypt. And Egypt, what was it about Egypt that was so amazing? When you go to Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, it says, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go?" In other words, Pharaoh failed to acknowledge the true God. "I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." The king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?" And here we find one of the first references to the Sabbath before Moses delivers Israel from Egypt. "And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest that were their Sabbath from their burdens." So notice, Pharaoh did not believe in the true God. And so in light of this, what we're seeing here, and this is interesting because in Egypt, even though they had all of these gods, the king or the Pharaoh himself saw himself as divine. But while they worshipped many of these gods, such as Ra and others, friends, they themselves did not even believe. It was more so for political reputation, for political expediency, that many of these men claimed to believe in the deities of Egypt. But many of these people truly in their heart of hearts did not subscribe to any god. They believed that they themselves were divine and were to be worshipped. And so what we are seeing here is that Egypt spiritually is a symbol of an atheistic attitude, an attitude that does not acknowledge the true God, but only sees itself as divine. Hence we read in Great Controversy, chapter 15, the following. In Great Controversy, chapter 15, page 269, it says, the great city in whose streets the witnesses are slain and where their dead bodies lie is spiritually Egypt. Of all nations presented in Bible history, Egypt most boldly denied the existence of the living God and resisted his commands. No monarch ever ventured upon more open and high-handed rebellion against the authority of heaven than did the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh. When the message was brought him by Moses in the name of the Lord, Pharaoh proudly answered, and then she quotes Exodus 5:2, which we just read, "Who is Jehovah that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not Jehovah, neither will I let Israel go." And then what does she say this represents? What does Egypt represent in light of these texts? This is atheism. So you see, and Egypt, by the way, was the southern kingdom from Israel. It was south, so it was known as the southern kingdom, and the king who ruled it was known as the king of the south. This is why when we go to Daniel chapter 11 and we read of the king of the north and the king of the south from verses 40 to 45, what we are talking about here is that the king of the south was always recognized as the territory of Egypt. But what do we see Egypt represent spiritually? This is atheism. And the nation represented by Egypt would give voice to a similar denial of the claims of the living God, and would manifest a like spirit of unbelief and defiance. The great city is also compared spiritually to Sodom. The corruption of Sodom in breaking the law of God was especially manifested in licentiousness. You remember we covered that? That it was social injustice. It was fullness of bread. It was greed. It was the fact that it did not, it was pride and not strengthening the poor and needy. But we also mentioned that by the time Christ came down to actually bring about the judgment, to save Lot and his family, licentiousness had swept throughout Sodom. And so now God said, this is the icing on the cake. The cup is full. I will destroy it. The corruption of Sodom in breaking the law of God was especially manifested in licentiousness. And this sin was also to be a preeminent characteristic of the nation that should fulfill the specifications of the scripture. According to the words of the prophet then, a little before the year 1798, because you remember the beast rises as the two witnesses are finishing their testimony at the end of the 1260 years. So we know we're coming close to 1798. And she says, according to the words of the prophet then, a little before the year 1798, some power of satanic origin and character would rise to make war upon the Bible, the two witnesses. And in the land where the testimony of God's two witnesses should thus be silenced, there would be manifest the atheism of the Pharaoh and the licentiousness of Sodom. This prophecy has received a most exact and striking fulfillment in the history of France. During the French Revolution of 1793, the world, for the first time, heard an assembly of men born and educated in civilization and assuming the right to govern one of the finest European nations, uplift their united voice to deny the most solemn truth which man's soul receives and renounce unanimously the belief and worship of the deity. France is the only nation in the world concerning which the authentic record survives that as a nation she lifted her hand in open rebellion against the author of the universe. Plenty of blasphemers, plenty of infidels there have been and still continue to be in England, Germany, Spain, and elsewhere. But France stands apart in the world's history as the single state which, by the decree of her legislative assembly, pronounced that there was no God, and of which the entire population of the capital and a vast majority elsewhere, women as well as men, danced and sang with joy in accepting the announcement. That's crazy. But friends, that's what happened. That's what took place. So when we read of this beast rising up out of the bottomless pit at the end of the papacy supremacy, at the time when the two witnesses were just finishing their testimony, giving their testimony, that is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, we're talking about the nation of France. A nation that came and interrupted the papacy's dominion in the year 1798. The revolution began in the early 1793. And so in light of this, it says that this nation would arise and also fight against the two witnesses and overcome them. And so as we look at this, what we're beginning to realize is that the spirit of prophecy, the Bible and the spirit of prophecy is helping us to see that the French Revolution interrupted the papacy's dominion, supremacy, at the same time fought against the word of God, continued to deny a creator. Statement continues, France presented also the characteristic which especially distinguished Sodom. During the revolution, there was a manifest state of moral debasement and corruption similar to that which brought destruction upon the cities of the plain. And the historian presents together the atheism and licentiousness of France as it is given in the prophecy. Quote, unquote, intimately connected with these laws affecting religion was that which reduced the union of marriage, the most sacred engagement which human beings can form, and the permanence of which leads most strongly to the consolidation of society, to a state of mere civil contract of a transitory character, which any two persons might engage in and cast loose at pleasure. If fiends had set themselves at work to discover a mode of most effectually destroying whatever is venerable, graceful, or permanent in domestic life, and obtaining at the same time an assurance that the mischief which it was their object to create should be perpetuated from one generation to another, they could not have invented a more effectual plan than the degradation of marriage. Sophie Arnold, an actress famous for the witty things she said, described the Republican marriage as the sacrament of adultery. So this is how bad it got, friends. Now, she also interprets this statement. She says, where also our Lord was crucified, in quote. This specification of the prophecy was also fulfilled by France. In no land had the spirit of enmity against Christ been more strikingly displayed. In no country had the truth encountered more bitter and cruel opposition. In the persecution which France had visited upon the confessors of the gospel, she had crucified Christ in the person of his disciples. Century after century, the blood of saints had been shed, while the Waldenses laid their lives upon the mountains of Piedmont for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Similar witness to the truth had been borne by their brethren, the Albigenses of France. In the days of the Reformation, its disciples had been put to death with horrible tortures. King and nobles, high-born women and delicate maidens, the pride of chivalry and of the nation, had feasted their eyes upon the agonies of the martyrs of Jesus. The brave Huguenots, battling for those rights which the human heart holds most sacred, had poured out their blood on many a hard-fought field. The Protestants were counted as outlaws. A price was set upon their heads, and they were hunted down like wild beasts. The church in the desert, the few descendants of the ancient Christians that still lingered in France in the 18th century, hiding away in the mountains of the south, still cherished the faith of their fathers. As they ventured to meet by night on mountainside or lonely moor, they were chased by dragoons and dragged away to lifelong slavery in the galleys. The purest, the most refined, and the most intelligent of the French were chained in horrible torture amidst robbers and assassins. Others, more mercifully dealt with, were shot down in cold blood. As unarmed and helpless, they fell upon their knees in prayer. Hundreds of aged men, defenseless women, and innocent children were left dead upon the earth at their place of meeting. In traversing the mountainside or the forest, where they had been accustomed to assemble, it was not unusual to find at every four paces dead bodies dotting the sward and corpses hanging suspended from the trees. Their country, laid waste with the sword, the axe, the faggot, was converted into a vast, gloomy wilderness. These atrocities were not committed during the Dark Ages, but in that brilliant era, speaking of the French Revolution, when science was cultivated and letters flourished, when the divines of the court and the capital were learned and eloquent men who greatly affected the graces of meekness, charity. So friends, this is serious. The last statement I'll read, it says as follows. But blackest in the black catalog of crime, most horrible upon among the fiendish deeds of all the dreadful centuries, was the St. Bartholomew Massacre. And the world still recalls with shuddering horror the scenes of that most cowardly and cruel onslaught. The King of France, urged on by Romish priests and prelates, lent his sanction to the dreadful work. The great bell of the palace, tolling at dead of night, was a signal for the slaughter. Protestants by thousands, sleeping quietly in their homes, trusting to the plighted honor of their king, were dragged forth without warning and murdered in cold blood. And friends, this is what was happening during the time of the Dark Ages, and also after the Dark, when France supported the papacy. We are actually told that that France was one of the most ardent supporters of the papal system. But then what happened was after the French Revolution, after the papacy did its work during the 1,260 years, then France got tired of the papacy, and it rebelled against the papal system. Friends, I want to propose to you this, as I've mentioned before on this line, this is one of the ways in which the Sunday law will happen. This is one of the reasons. I remember I heard of one who said, a preacher who said, you know, one of the ways that you know that society is basically at its climactic point and about to be destroyed is that you see licentiousness within the society, sexual perversity. And to a degree, that is true. But friends, it is not so with end time events. You see, when the end comes, when everything begins to wrap up, the situation with the French Revolution, we begin to see and understand how the end will take place. If you look in this same chapter, the Bible and the French Revolution, this is actually what we are told. And I pray that I can get this statement for you. All right, got it. So this is what we are told here. Actually, I will make sure to find it for you and I will bring it back to you because I want to bring out this point. This was such a powerful point from inspiration concerning how the French Revolution came about. I'll mention it here and then I'll seek to get it for you. The idea is that the French Revolution was the legitimate result, the legitimate fruit. Okay, found it. Yes, this is Great Controversy, page 265. He says, the war against the Bible, carried forward for so many centuries in France, culminated in the scenes of the French of the Revolution. That terrible outbreaking was but the legitimate result of Rome's suppression of the scriptures. So notice, why was there this outbreak of licentiousness in the French Revolution and ultimately France attacking the papacy? It was hypocritical Christianity. Rome, claiming to be Christian yet suppressing the scriptures and bringing about that immorality, yet trying to control men. What was the result? There was a pushback. I want to propose to you that when we call out certain communities that are practicing licentiousness today in Christianity, that we never fail to forget that the concept and patterns that when you see sexual immorality within a nation, it is because of hypocritical Christians. This is what we're reading in the statement. This is where the licentiousness of France finally exploded from. It exploded because Christianity was not what it should have been. The love of God was not manifested as it should have been. And the truth of the character of God as it was revealed in the scriptures was not seen. Rather, in its place, oppression in the name of Christianity was done. This is why, as a movement, we must be careful as we speak out against certain lifestyles. We must make sure that in our lifestyles there is not hypocrisy. We must make sure that in our lifestyles there is no pride nor gluttony. There is no social injustice against others. But that, friends, because the tendency is that we tend to want to call out other people's sins, because it makes us feel better about ourselves. And so may we ever be careful as we close. Father in heaven, I pray that these things made sense that we covered. And I pray, oh God, you continue to give us wisdom and understanding as we continue to study these passages. Guide us. Save us at last. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen, amen. God help us. Brother Akeem, very powerful. and that we have to be careful, because we don't want to call out somebody's sin, and yet we are in the same sin. That is very hypocritical. So I just ask you, Father, help each and every one of us, Lord, as we do such things. Lord, I thank you for hearing this message tonight, and that, Lord, that we put away our sins, and Lord, and that we be the example that Christ has left here for us. So, Brother Akeem, I just want to thank the Lord for his word. I want to thank him for answering prayers and just being here with us to tell us the truth before you come. And my brothers and sisters, and that is the purpose, for us to know the truth and accept the truth before he comes. So I want to thank you for coming on tonight, and I just want to play a song that I was supposed to play, and I learned that it was on low. And so, but I'm going to play it tonight, and we're just going to thank the Lord once again for Brother Akeem James, Pastor Akeem James, because he has moved to pastoral in the church now. So we just thank God for him and every week that he bring the word, because this young man, this man does not get paid on this prayer line. He don't get paid a penny, sisters and brothers, but yet he come and share the word of God. And that lets you know when a man wants to preach God's word to people, it doesn't matter whether he gets paid or not. But you know what? By God's grace, one day we will offer him something by God's grace. Amen? So we're going to play this song, and we're going to let you go. And may God truly bless you tonight and keep you while you sleep. Amen? So we're going to play What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Thank you once again, Brother Akeem. May God continue to bless you and your family. Amen? And this song will play now.